The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen. Our text on this day is recorded in the book of Acts. We read in chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So far our text. In the name of Jesus, our risen, ascended, exalted Savior, dear fellow redeemed, Jesus had spoken about it on many occasions. And now the hour arrived for it to happen. And so he walked with his disciples outside of Jerusalem to a nearby mountain called Olivet. Same route he had walked with them many times before, spending time with them resting or using as a getaway retreat where he could teach them his word apart from the bustling crowds. On this occasion, their time with Jesus would be very different, because this was the place he had chosen from which to remove his visible presence from the earth, having finished his earthly mission. And when they got to the place, he raised up his hands in blessing, and while he spoke the words, may well have been the very benediction that we hear at the end of the worship service each Sunday. He suspended the law of gravity. He made his body move upward into the sky. And then a cloud enveloped him, hid him from their view. And as they fixed their gaze heavenward, hoping to catch a final glimpse of Jesus, they noticed those two men standing right next to them, dressed in white clothes, angels who announced that they did not need to be sad because he had left them, but that they could rather be happy about what they had just witnessed. Now, this Sunday after Ascension, we want to think about this, why Jesus' ascension to heaven that we confess every Sunday in the Creed is truly a happy event for us, his disciples, today. We want to remember with joy the day of our Lord's ascension, considering, first of all, the important preparations he made for this day, and then the great commission he gave us on that day, and the wonderfully comforting promise he also made about his return. So what important preparations did the Savior make for his great ascension day? And why are they a source of happiness for Christians? Well, one of them was that during the month and a half year long period after Easter and before his going up into the heavens, as we read in our text, he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. At least a dozen occasions that the Bible tells us about. And for what purpose? Provide them with beyond a shadow of doubt evidence, I really did conquer death for you. I really did defeat Satan for you. And he made sure also that his resurrection appearances were recorded in the scriptures because he wants you and me to be sure about it too. He wants us to draw joy in our daily walk of faith as pilgrims here, during which we experience ups and downs and troubles and tribulations, as they say, to know that wherever we are, whatever we are doing, whether we're working or resting, eating dinner or sleeping, on the road traveling, or spending quiet time at home with family, amidst all life's changing scenes, our risen Savior is with us, guiding our lives for our good. And since he provided us with such convincing proofs of his bodily resurrection, there can be no doubt we will be resurrected with our bodies made new and perfect to be just like his, to see him and be with him one day in his visible presence forever. As we sing, "Lives again our glorious King, where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died our souls to save, where thy victory, O grave? Soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head, made like him we rise. Ours the cross, troubles and tribulations we experience on earth, the grave, and finally the skies, to be with the Lord." Another important preparation he made for his ascension day, again, this was not preparations he made for himself, but again for his followers, his disciples then and now, is that he spoke to them. He said, he talked about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, that the disciples were entertaining mistaken ideas about the kingdom of God, and they found it very difficult to tear themselves loose from this notion that the purpose of God's Son descending to earth from heaven was to set up a kingdom here, even as late as Ascension Day. Just read it. They asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" You're going to elevate the nation of Israel to a position of status in the world as it once enjoyed under David. And so he spent some of the time during that roughly 5.5 week stretch from Easter to his ascension, helping them understand that his kingdom is not a geographical spot you can point to on a map. Not something you can see with your eyes so people say, "Here it is," or "There it is." But it is my gracious reign in people's hearts through the gospel with my forgiving love, the joy I give them of knowing I've defeated death for them and Satan. I've wiped out the handwriting of requirements that stood against you, which was contrary to you, by nailing it to the cross. Disciples needed to be clear about this because they were be the ones who were going to be his gospel ambassadors after his ascension day, whom he would use to expand his spiritual kingdom by leading more people to faith through the gospel, trusting in Christ their heavenly King, and to rejoice in this, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, things that happen here on earth, but of things that go on in the human heart Things like joy in Jesus' righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Friends, we, Jesus' disciples today, need to be reminded of this too. You know that there are many church groups who have misconceptions about the nature of Christ's kingdom. They teach, for example, that he's planning to return to earth someday to set up his reign on planet Earth, when all evils of society will finally be put down and good will finally prevail. Or they proclaim a gospel message that if you believe in Jesus strongly enough, he's going to reward you with material wealth and success, financial blessing, and physical well-being. Good health are always God's will for true believers. Of course, Jesus said a lot different, didn't he? He said, tribulations you must suffer before you enter the kingdom of God. And you know, that's also what we're praying for, the true kingdom of God to come in the Lord's Prayer every time we offer the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. The Lord is encouraging us to petition our Heavenly Father for what? If you know Luther's Catechism. That he would give us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live godly lives for his praise here on earth and finally in eternity. Encouraging us in that second petition of the Lord's Prayer to pray that his reign of love through the gospel be spread to more hearts in addition to ours. That we tell people how God the Father's will made the world and upholds it still, how his own dear Son he gave us from sin and death to save, to tell others about our Redeemer's grace, who to save our fallen human race and to pay rebellion's price gave himself as our sacrifice, to tell of God the Spirit given now to guide us up to heaven, strong and holy, just and true, working in our hearts both to will and to do. These are the things we're praying for in second petition of the Lord's Prayer, which leads us into the next thought of the sermon, that we as Christians want to remember with joy our Lord's Ascension Day when we consider the great commission that he gave to us. When he said, as they're walking out to the Mount of Olives, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So he promised to bless his followers with wisdom and courage and eagerness, which they would need for spreading the gospel good news. He would pour out the Holy Spirit upon them, equipping them for the work to which he had called them in his name. And today he promises us the same. The same Spirit and gifts for carrying out the Great Commission. Furnishes Christians with a readiness to give an answer to anyone who asks us to give them a reason for the hope that we have in Christ. He gives parents the desire to bring up their children for Jesus and to be his witnesses, to lead them to a knowledge of their sins and of God's grace in Christ. To congregations, he bestows an understanding of the importance of Christian education to operate a Sunday school or a Christian day school or a vacation Bible school as we are enabled. Larger groups of Christians he blesses, synods, with a desire to carry on mission work in faraway places and to meet together to discuss and plan this work at church conferences and conventions, like will happen in Cheyenne this week and Eau Claire later on in June. And let us also not forget, friends, that Jesus, the ascended Lord, supplies the human resource gifts to teach his word. Ephesians 4, a beautiful section of Paul's letter where he says that Christ ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and he put down Satan. gave gifts to men in the form of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the building up in the faith of the body of Christ. And again, all these things so that we might fulfill the mission God gave to us in Christ of sharing the Great Commission. Go make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And one other thing on this second part of our sermon, you know, as our ascended Lord sitting at God's right hand, means he's a position of power, ruling everything for our good and interceding for us daily before his Father's throne, we have the joy. He gives us this joy of knowing that our labors in his kingdom are never in vain. His word always accomplishes what he wants. And yes, finally then, he will also fulfill his sweet promise to return. I was reading a story a while back about a stately Christian basilica built way back in the 6th century in Constantinople, which is Istanbul, Turkey today, called Saint Sophia, one of the most beautiful cathedrals in the whole world. Unfortunately, after the fall of Constantinople to the Turks in the year 1453, it was converted into a mosque, and all the Christian inscriptions and symbols were painted over with pagan symbols. There was an American tourist visiting Saint Sophia. He was standing under the great dome and looking up at its impressive artistry, and he was able to detect the faint figure of the ascending Christ with outstretched hands in blessing coming back through the wearing off of the cover paint. He turned to a man standing next to him and he said, "Jesus is coming back." Can't blot them out. Through all the daubs and dusts of the centuries, the Savior will return. And that's our joy as his people. What the angels said, the same Jesus, taken up into heaven, will come back the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. And when that day arrives, final curtain falls on the stage of history. You'll see him face to face, coming on the clouds amidst power and glory, flanked by angel armies, and then you will also ascend to live at his right hand where there's fullness of joy and endless pleasure. Described beautifully by John in Revelation, and I'll close with this portion from one of John's vision this morning where he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. And this city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it its light, and its lamp is the Lamb, Christ. And nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life," God's Christians. And it's Jesus' death, resurrection, and his ascension that's the guarantee of it. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit